Chapter 7. Courage, valor, and heroism have no doubt been displayed on both sides of every battle that was ever fought. Was the Viet Cong soldier who risked his life to drag his buddy back into his foxhole any less brave than the American soldier who did the same thing? Should the Viet Cong veteran walking around on one leg today in Vietnam be viewed as any less the hero than his counterpart here in America? War is an invention of governments and economic special interests. Throughout recorded history, all ruling entities, prophets, emperors, kings, councils, ministers, you name it, have used fear to guarantee the support of the people. Fear of economic or physical violence from other groups of people. Often the danger is real. Not because the people themselves have had any particular disagreement, but because self-serving sociopaths have convinced the ignorant masses on one or both sides that ill will or evil intent exists on the other side. Most often, the only ill will or evil intent is that of the greedy rulers and business entities that covet ownership or control of the assets of the other side. After a couple of bloody conflicts, it is easy for rulers to perpetuate distrust and hatred between societies that were duped into it in the first place, but may hold grudges for centuries after bloody conflicts. Every war seems to be precipitated by a set of circumstances that almost seem absurd, given the extent of death and suffering that follows. Historians, who get published, appear to marvel at this too, but most seem to just accept it as if there was no explanation. Who dares to question how such absurdly insignificant circumstances erupt into mass violence and the death of millions? Who dares to note which people or entities have exploited, manipulated, or even precipitated these circumstances? Follow the money, so the saying goes. Who owned and or financed the munitions factories that made war possible in the 20th century? What were their personal and political connections? Does anyone seriously think that Hitler rose to power in a vacuum? Who bankrolled his rise to power? What were their names? Why are so few writers willing to name them? Why are their names not in the textbooks of our school children? Does anyone think a bunch of penniless Russian potato farmers overthrew the Tsar in 1917? What are the names of the human beings who authorized foreign economic support for the Bolsheviks? Does no one know? Or are historians afraid to say? What was the agenda of the specific people who saw to it that the Bolsheviks had the resources to topple the Russian government? What organizations did they work for? Are these organizations still around? If they are still around, what is their agenda today? Sure, the Tsar may have been a monster, but what was the Soviet regime that replaced him? How many Russians died from 1917 to 1945 in the conflicts started and promoted by governments? Nearly 100 million? Of which Stalin alone may have murdered some 30 million? Did outside financial interests prop up the infant Soviet regime? Did those same financial interests pull the plug on the Soviet experiment some 80 years later, when it had served its purpose and was no longer needed? What multinational bankers and industrialists had intimate dealings with the Soviets and the entire Red Bloc from 1917 into the late 1980s? Why? Is there a reason we shouldn't know or shouldn't care? Where do illiterate Muslim fanatics in a barren country with little indoor plumbing get modern weapons of war sufficient to actually do battle with the Russian army? and then, a few years later, with American and British forces. Who, specifically, is providing them with the arms? Where are they coming up with the money to buy these arms? Do you know? Why don't you know? Why shouldn't your government be able to find out and let you know? What with the billions it spends on intelligence? Why won't your government tell you any of this? Why isn't this information readily available in public school textbooks? Why wouldn't this information be of critical interest to a people who profess to value truth and freedom? Many people have wrestled with these questions and determined that the answers lie in this one fact. The international banking establishment is made up of the same people who own and or finance the munitions industry, the oil industry, and a gigantic percentage of significant international trade. These lovely people and their families have, down through the centuries, become fabulously wealthy while sending the common folk off to slaughter each other in an unending series of wars and other conflicts. Is there nothing the giants of international banking and commerce could have done to bring aggressor nations to their financial knees long before their lunatic leaders could invade anyone? Instead, it appears that the giants of international banking and commerce were enriching themselves in countries on all sides in the massive economic balloon generated by preparations for war, war itself, and the rebuilding necessitated by the destruction of war. No morals here, just economic opportunity, thank you. Coming forward 50 years or so, there is plenty of evidence to suggest that virtually all the so-called third world countries that the Western powers find it necessary to invade can barely feed themselves, much less have the technology or financial resources to become a military threat to the West. As for biological or chemical weapons, evidence suggests, and the American government has as much as admitted it, that these weapons were acquired from the West in the first place, back when they were our allies, and we were pitting them against some country that was our enemy at the time. The roles reverse. All sides are armed to the teeth. And by whom? Predominantly by Western multinational corporate arms dealers and bankers. This is all legal. And in the national interest, it creates jobs. Is it moral? Are there consequences? If there are consequences, who is accountable? So I ask you, who is the enemy? The guy shooting at you? Or the folks who set it all up and lied to you to make you believe that the guy shooting at you is evil and wants to destroy your way of life? The guy shooting at you probably doesn't have anything against you personally at all. He may be just as much a victim of the lying puppets set up in his own government by the same cabal of international power brokers, financiers, and industrialists. But the key question is this: do people have a responsibility to know what's really going on before marching off to kill other human beings? Can war ever be justified by the phony, self-serving lies of political and economic interests that people could and should know are lying? These selfish, evil interests have a track record centuries long. If you or I or anyone else can be perceived as serving these evil interests, how then could it come as a surprise to be attacked by the people who see themselves as victims of that which we support? The people need to ask themselves, who is running the show? Who has been setting it up? Who is financing it with money created out of thin air? Who can disrespect or devalue the courage and comradeship of soldiers in battle, or the love of one's country and traditions? These are some of the noblest attributes human beings can exhibit. But it takes a good deal more courage to take a stand for the truth, even while one's family, friends, and countrymen are swept away in a mad, dishonest rush to crucify the very principles for which they wave their flag and sing their anthem. What makes nationalism so dangerous is the tendency of people to be selfish, lazy, and almost eager to swallow propaganda, especially when it is foreign people who are to be brutalized in the name of the homeland's national interests. A nation suffering from narcissistic pride will see the entire human race incinerated before it will ever admit to having been wrong in any of its policies. Does the Creator generally interfere with natural law, such as what goes around comes around?